You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Then he says, if I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future and knew everything about everything but didn't love others, what good would it do? Then he says, even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. Now, if you say you love me, or if you love the person next to you, or if you love your husband, or if you love your wife, or if you love your children. Remember, Titus said that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to phileodiandria, which means a paternal or maternal love. He says, if you say you love someone, watch. Verse 4, love is very patient and kind. It is never jealous or envious. It is never boastful or proud. It is never arrogant or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Now, you say you walk in love, but the Holy Spirit is always showing you when people do something wrong. The Spirit's showing me. Spirit's showing me you doing something you shouldn't do. Really? Jesus is confronted by a situation that really happened. A young girl has been physically involved with another man to the point of sexual behavior. Because they lived in such tight kibbutzes where they could literally just roll out of one tent into another, the men had gathered around to pay attention to the action that was happening in that tent. Upon conclusion of the intimate act, they grabbed the girl to bring her to Jesus. Their motive is not the implementation of the law. Their motive is to test Jesus. They bring this woman to Jesus and they cry, this woman has been taken in the very act of adultery. And Moses commanded that we stone her. Jesus said, you're right. I didn't come to destroy the law. She should be stoned. Yes, she should. She should not have been doing that with this man. He said, however, because I come to clear the law, because I come to bring love, I'm not telling you she should not be stoned. I'm here to determine who stones her. And the only one fit to stone her are those that never sinned. Here's your stone, baby. Throw it. Oh, and let me write these sins down on the ground that I see in all of your hearts. They started looking at what he was writing, and the Bible said from the eldest to the youngest, they walked away. Jesus is left there with this young woman. He's the only one that is able to throw the stone. He's committed no sin. There's no sin in him. He looks at the woman and says, where are your accusers? She says, Lord, I don't have one. He said, well, then I'm not going to accuse you. Go in peace and stay out of strange people's beds. Wouldn't that be neat for some of us to hear today? That whatever you've done, the Lord doesn't condemn you. The Lord is not standing in heaven beating you down. He's not standing over you with a stick because he is love. Listen, he is patient and kind. He's never jealous or envious. He is not the God who gets so filled with hate that you messed up that he cuts your head off. Someone will come up to you and say, God's going to judge you. And you tell them, he's already judged me. And the verdict was mercy. Don't you get it? Being judged doesn't mean that you're going to be destroyed. It just means that you stood before the judge and the judge gave the verdict. We are all guilty. We have all sinned. But the verdict is mercy. Hallelujah. That means when someone comes to you and they've committed a sin and they violated some rule or principle in your life and they've done something that you don't like or something that you feel is improper, your verdict is mercy. Why? Because you are the carrier of the love of God. You say, hold it, Pastor, hold it. You got to take a stand against unrighteousness. Yes, you do, but you do it with a merciful heart. Not a heart that says, I don't have mercy. You don't beat people down because God never beat you down. Listen to what it says. He continues on in verse 7. In verse 6 it says, love, verse 5, doesn't hold grudges. There's some of us, unfortunately, we're still angry with someone since high school. My class reunion is coming up, and the people that are coordinated, they send out stuff and talk to us. And I call the guys, and I say, well, is so-and-so coming? No, man, he's still mad. We've been out of school for 15 years. You still mad? Only 15, right, Sylvie? Only 15, right, Darlene? We've been out for 15 years, and he's still holding a grudge. I ain't coming. Is so-and-so coming? I ain't coming. How long are you going to hold a grudge? You're sitting in church. Something happened to you in 2008. Here it is, 2019. You're still angry. Person walks up to you. Hello, praise the Lord. Or better yet, this is how we do it in church. Oh, they coming this way. So then when it's time for the anointing to flow, when it's time for the anointing to flow, it can't flow because this hate and bitterness is closing it down. You go to lay hands on the sick and they get worse because the healing power can't penetrate the hatred and the bitterness. And what you do instead of transposing the anointing, you transpose hatred and bitterness. The laying on of hands is taking what's in your spirit and putting it on an innocent bystander. So when you hold a grudge, listen, even when you teach with bitterness in your heart, that comes out of you and hits folks. So now the students walk out of your class, all are mad. You say, oh my God, what happened? Because you're mad. Love does not hold grudges. Tell your neighbor, I forgive you. Tell your other neighbor, I forgive you. Amen. It doesn't hold grudges. Notice this. And it will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Peter came to Jesus and thought he was doing something like us. He said, Lord, I forgive my brother 7 times a day. Jesus said, nope. What do you mean 7 times? The law says I'm supposed to forgive him 7 times a day. Jesus said, but I came to fulfill the law. He said, you forgive him 70 times 7. My goodness. If anybody in here can be offended 490 times, you 3 years old. There isn't anyone that can offend me 490 times, and believe me, I go into some places where folks try to offend me, but you rise above it. I don't want my anointing to be hindered by foolishness. sitting around a table arguing with somebody over the amount of pencils in the pencil case, or you didn't give me approval to do this or do that. No, I want my love to flow free, because you never know when God will say to me as I'm walking down Market Street or Chestnut Street and somebody falls over and dies, and he says, lay hands on them so they can come back to life, because today I want to get glory. But I have to say to him, God, I need 5 minutes to get myself together, because I'm still mad at Aaron. That person misses their miracle because I'm walking around with a grudge. Oh, get free today, saints. Get free of all that garbage. You never know when God is going to call you. You never know when he's going to press you to do something great. Love is never glad about injustice. Don't be happy when President Trump messes up. Love isn't glad about injustice. See, I told you he wasn't no good. No. Love only rejoices when truth wins out. Saints should never be sitting around waiting for the president to fail. The word of God said we should pray for him. The word of God says we should pray for those that are in political position. You and I are not supposed to go around trying to throw a person out of office through vengeance and anger. We throw them out through the process called election. Oh, the saints of God. See, when we grasp the fact that our behavior at home and in the world will affect our behavior in church, we don't become another person. We tried, but it doesn't work, because God will raise up somebody. I bet you didn't even know you had that amount of bitterness than what you show towards somebody that pastor has put in a position. You actually thought you had it made until that person took that position. I had a brother several years ago who was a very strong member of our church, and he came to me one day, and he said, I appointed a person to an office, and he came to me, and he said, I don't agree with who you put in that position. I don't think they should be there, but since you made the decision, I'm going to stand with you. He said, and even if it doesn't work and it fails, I'm going to go down with you. I thought, wow, that's love. First, he just told me he didn't approve of that decision, but he said, I love you, and I'm going to stand by you. See how quiet it gets? Because we actually think that just because we don't like something, it shouldn't be done. When are we going to realize that God is testing you? He's not testing the testor. He's testing the testee. Now watch. This is how you know. When you go to God and pray that he moves that person and he doesn't do it, that's an indication they're there for you. They're there to perfect you. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about your spouse now. I know some of you are going, I'm asking God to move this. No. Love does not hold grudges. Verse 6, it is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. Verse 7, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love God goes on forever. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. Now we know so little, even with our special gifts, and the preaching of those most gifted is still so poor. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for those inadequate special gifts will come to an end and they will disappear. That means that at some point in your Christian life, you won't need the gifts in your life anymore. In fact, the writer to Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, God puts in the body apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor, teacher to bring you to maturity. Listen carefully. I can summarize it in this fashion. Several years ago, several years ago. And because I'm a Victorian man, I live in the 21st century, but my motivations and desires are 14th century. So I believe that daughters stay home till they get married, but sons get out at 18 because he has to be a man. He has to learn to navigate life. But daughters stay home till they get married. But I raised a 20th century girl. And her mother and I taught her many principles. And so one day she came up to me and she said, "Dad, I need to talk to you." I said, "What is it?" She said, "I'm asking you something for which I need your blessing, but not your approval." Well, that made me turn around. What are you talking about? She said, "I'm going to get my own apartment. I need your blessing, but not your approval." I said, "Whoa, you've become me. You've asked for what I need to give you, but you've realized since you're an adult, you don't need my approval. But you asked for my blessing." At that moment, I realized she is no longer my child, but she will always be my daughter, and I will forever be her father. But our role changes. You understand what I'm saying? As you grow older, your expression of love changes. That means you don't have to be kissy face to show love, but you have to be nice. So this is why Paul says, when I was a child, the Bible says, I spake as a child, thought as a child, and reasoned as a child. So we're going to switch that. We're going to say that we first reason as a child because that's what came to us. We were childish. And there's a difference in being childish and childlike. Childlike is innocent, forgiving, laughing and joyful, jubilant. Childish is pouting and getting upset because somebody didn't call you. Childish is not forgiving. Like two little children, "I ain't talking to you. Why aren't you talking to me? You didn't give me no candy." That provokes in the one child the need to be loved. So they give out their candy, but they're not giving it out of a generous heart. They're giving it so that they can be loved. It's called manipulation. And so Paul said, "I reasoned as a child." And what is that reasoning? The foundation of childish reasoning is I'm right, you're wrong, and I have no margin for error. This person is just wrong. But if you believe in the sovereignty of God, that person wouldn't be there unless God puts them there. Childish behavior says, "Well, I'm not going to sing anymore. If Roz don't let me sing my song, and Pastor likes my song, because every time I sing my song, he comes out and sits down. So if they ain't letting me sing my song, I'm getting off the praise team." That's childish. Childlike would be, "Well, Roz thinks that my song won't fit today's move, that the Lord is moving in a different direction. So I'm just going to go up and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to back up whoever sings because, you know, I'm there to support and to be, I'm innocent of any of that selfish gain. I'm just there to support." That's childlike. Amen. You see, Bible says that love doesn't hold grudges. Amen. And it doesn't rejoice when people do wrong. It doesn't sit there and laugh when someone misquotes a scripture or says the wrong thing in a recitation. I was at a play that my daughter's class had back in elementary school, and they all had to come out. Each child had to come out and say something. And one of the little girls came out, and she must have developed stage fright. And she started her passage and couldn't get more than 5 words into it, and she broke down and began to cry. And off of the side, from the side of the stage, another little girl came out, stood next to her, held her hand, and finished her verse for her, then walked her off the stage. And everybody in the audience stood up and clapped. Oh, but I can imagine how it would have been with adults. We'll sit there while they struggle with their lines. "Should have studied. I didn't forget mine. Mm-hmm. Thought you said the Holy Ghost was in you. That child came off unsolicited to stand by her friend. That's what God is saying. If we love, husband, if you love your wife as Christ does the church, she cannot be seduced by the devil nor by ungodly spirits because you're watching for her soul. And you're bold enough to say, you didn't hear from God, honey. That's wrong behavior. God wouldn't tell you something that takes you out of the harmony of our home. Lady with a strong prophetic ministry that I've admired for over 30 years. They've been friends of mine, her and her husband, for 30 years. Since I was 2, I met them. Great people of God. She has a strong prophetic gift. She called me one day. She said, Eric, I need to talk to you. I said, what is it? What is it? I thought something was wrong with my brother. She said, no, everything's okay. She said, I just want to tell you, God told me something about Sister Lambert. I said, what did he tell you? She said, I have to tell her that God's called her into ministry. I said, now, I love you, but you're wrong. You're wrong. God wouldn't do that to my house. Why would he do that to my house? I said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. You can talk to Sister Lamb. She called her up and she said, God told me to tell you, call me. And she said, you didn't hear from God. That wasn't the Lord. You see what I'm saying? God isn't destroying homes by ministerial giftings. God knows what works in my home. God knows what works in yours. And you can't let yourself be pulled by what other people say. That's not love. You say, well, what's that got to do with love? When you understand that your role prevents destruction of your home, man, you set it in order. Are you the head of your home, or is your wife? Does she check with you when she hears from God? Well, you know, praise the Lord, that ain't how it's supposed to be. God said in the book of Exodus that if a wife vows a vow and the husband hears that, he can disallow the vow and God won't hold the wife accountable because he has placed the husband as the head. So the wife can come home and say, I feel the Lord telling me to go on a shut-in and a fast for the next 10 days. And the husband says, but I just booked the cruise. You ain't fasting. We going on this cruise. And God ain't going to say, well, I'm going to kill him so you can fast. God's going to say, have a good time. Bring me back something.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Walking in Love, or the program number, 05219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at betheldeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.